On the completion of the examination, the doctor and the sitter return to the room, and the door is finally locked and bolted, you retaining the key during the whole evening. The large gas lamp on the mantelpiece has of course been lit previous to this, and the flame is now turned up fully. The sensitive takes his seat on a chair placed in a corner of the room furthest away from the door, the window, and the fireplace, the sitters placing their 16 chairs in a half circle round him, so that he can only escape from his chair into the room by climbing over the sitters. The architect is then given strips of gummed paper and a stylographic pen. He and you paste these strips round the door, the window, and the fireplace, writing on the strips of paper any word or words selected by yourselves and known only to you, so that, in the event of their being tampered with, you would be able to see at once that the paper had been broken. One of the sitters, who is a musician, takes his seat temporarily at the harmonium, and commences to play suitable music, and we are ready to start our experiment. The general feeling of all those in the room being that every possible precaution against trickery has been taken, and that if any results of any kind whatever should follow, they will undoubtedly be genuine. The sitters having been allotted their seats, so that a person of a positive and a person of a negative temperament shall be seated together, we now join hands, and form ourselves into what we are told is a powerful human battery. The two persons sitting at the two ends of the half circle having of course each one hand free, and from the free hands of these two persons, it is said, the power developed and given off by this human battery passes into the sensitive at each of his sides. Sitting quietly in our chairs and talking gently amongst ourselves, we soon feel a cool breeze blowing across our hands. In another 2 minutes this will have so increased in volume that it may with truth be described as a strong wind. On looking at the sensitive now, we see that he is rapidly passing into a state of trance. His head is drooping on one side, his arms and hands hang downwards loosely, his body being in a limp real trance condition, and just in the right state for use by any entity desiring to work through him, we are told. I have only experimented with one sensitive who did not pass into trance. But, seated amongst the sitters, he remained in a perfectly normal condition during the whole of the experiment, watching the materialized forms building up beside him, and talking to and with them during the process. I shall refer to him shortly. When we now set our clairvoyance to work, and the statements made by one must be confirmed in every detail by the statements of the other as to what is occurring at the moment, or no notice is taken of their remarks. Both now report that they see a thin white mist or vapor too coming from the left side of the sensitive, if a man, or from the pelvis, if a woman, which passes into the sitter at the end of the half circle nearest to the sensitive's left side. It then passes, they state, from sitter number 1 to sitter number 2, and so on, until it has gone through the whole of the 16 sitters, passing finally from the last one, number 16, at the end of the half circle nearest to the sensitive's right side, and disappears into his right side. 1p. 46 Two-term teleplasma. See Appendix. We assume from this that the nerve force, magnetic power, call it what you will, necessary for the formation of one of these temporary bodies starts from the sensitive, passes through each sitter, drawing from each as much more force or power as he or she is capable of giving off at the moment, returning to the sensitive greatly increased in its amount and ready for use in the next process. This, then, we will term the first of the three stages in the evolution of an entity clad in a temporary body. The vapor stage. In a few moments our clairvoyants both report that the force or power is issuing from the side of the sensitive, if a man, or from the pelvis, if a woman, in the form of a white, soft, dough-like substance, which on one occasion I was permitted to touch. I could perceive no smell given off by it, it felt cold and clammy, and appeared to have the consistency of heavy dough at the moment that I touched it. This mass of dough-like substance is said to be the material used by the entities, one by one as a rule, who wish to build up a temporary body. It seems to rest on the floor, somewhere near the right side of the sensitive, until required for use, its bulk depending apparently upon the amount of power given off by the sitters from time to time during the experiment. This we will term the second of the three stages of the evolution of an entity clad in a temporary body, the solid, but shapeless stage. We are told that the entity wishing to show himself to us passes into this shapeless mass of dough-like substance, which at once increases in bulk, and commences to pulsate and move up and down, swaying from side to side, as it grows in height, the motive power being evidently underneath. The entity then quickly sets to work to mold the mass into something resembling a human body, commencing with the head. The rest of the upper portion of the body soon follows, and the heart and pulse can now be felt to be beating quite regularly and normally, differing in this respect from those of the sensitive, who, if tested at this time, will be found with both heart and pulse beats considerably above the normal. The legs and feet come last, and then the entity is able to leave the near neighborhood of the sensitive and to walk amongst the sitters, the third and last stage of its evolution being now complete. Although occasionally the entity will appear clad in an exact copy of the clothing which he states that he wore when on earth, especially if it should happen to be something a little out of the common, such as a military or naval uniform, they are draped as a rule in flowing white garments of a wonderfully soft texture, and this too I have been permitted to handle. Our clairvoyants both affirm that at all times during the materialization of thin band of, presumably, the dough-like substance can be plainly seen issuing from the side of the sensitive, if a man, or from the pelvis, if a woman, and joined onto the center of the body inhabited by the entity, just like the umbilical cord attached to a human infant at birth, and we are instructed that this band cannot be stretched beyond a certain radius, say 10 to 15 feet, without doing harm to the sensitive and to the entity, although cases are on record where materializations have been seen at a distance of nearly 60 feet from the sensitive, on occasions when the conditions were unusually favorable. On handling different portions of the materialized body now, the flesh is found to be both warm and firm. The bodies are well proportioned, those of the females, for they take on sex conditions during the process, having beautiful figures, and hands, arms, legs, and feet quite perfect in their modeling. But, in my opinion, the body, head, and limbs of every materialization of either sex or any age which I have scrutinized at close quarters carefully, or have been permitted to handle, have appeared to be at least one-third smaller in size, except as regards actual height, than those possessed by beings on Earth of the same sex and age. Not only have we witnessed materializations of aged entities of both sexes, showing all the characteristics of old age, for the purpose of identification by the sitters, as they tell us, but we have seen materialized infants also, and on one occasion two stillborn children appeared in our midst simultaneously, one of them showing distinct traces on its little face of a hideous deformity which it possessed at the time of his premature birth, a deformity known only to the mother, who happened to be present that evening as one of the sitters. We are told that, for the purpose of identification, the entity will return to Earth in an exact counterpart of the body which he alleges that he occupied at the time of his death, and in order that he may be recognized by his relatives and friends who happen to be present. Thus, the one who left the Earth as an infant will appear in his materialized body as an infant, although he may have been dead for 20 or 30 years. The aged man or woman will appear with bent body, wrinkled face, and snow-white hair, walking amongst us with difficulty, and just as they allege they did before their death, although that may have occurred 20 years before. The one who had lost a limb during his earth life will return minus that limb, the one who was disfigured by accident or disease will return bearing distinct traces of that disfigurement, for the purpose of identification only. But as soon as the identification has been established successfully, all this changes instantly. The disfigurement disappears, the four limbs will be seen, and both the infant and the aged will from henceforth show themselves to us in the very prime of life, the young growing upwards and the aged downwards, as we say, and, as they one and all state emphatically, just as they really look and feel in the sphere in which they now exist. While inhabiting these temporary bodies, they state that they take on, not only sex conditions, but earth conditions temporarily too, for they appear to feel pain if their bodies are injured in any way, complain of the cold if the temperature of the room is allowed to fall much below 60 degrees, or of the heat if the temperature is allowed to rise above 70 degrees, seem to be depressed during a thunderstorm, when our atmosphere is overcharged with electricity, and appear bright and happy in a warm room when the world outside is in the grip of a hard frost, and also on bright, starry nights. And not only this, but they take on strongly marked characteristics of the numerous races on Earth temporarily too. The materialized entities of the white races differing quite as markedly from those of the yellow or brown races, as do these from the black races, and in speaking to us each one will communicate in the particular language only which is characteristic of his race on Earth. 5, 6, and even 7 totally different languages have been employed during a single experimental meeting through a sensitive who had never in his life been out of England, and who was proved conclusively to know no other language than English, the latter number, we were told, being in honor of a ship's doctor who was present on one occasion, and who, although the fact was quite unknown to any of us at the time, proved to be an expert linguist, for he conversed that evening with different entities in English, French, German, Russian, Chinese, Japanese, and in the language of one of the hill tribes of India. On another occasion, when I was the only European present at an afternoon experimental meeting held in London by 8 passers of both sexes from Bombay, during the whole of the time, 2.25 hours, which the meeting lasted, the entities and the pass sitters carried on their conversation in Hindustani, to entities simultaneously, and one of the pass men engaging in a heated controversy, which lasted for nearly 3 minutes, over the disposal of the bodies of their dead, the entities insisting on cremation only, as opposed to allowing the bodies to be eaten by vultures, the noise which they made during this discussion being almost deafening. The sensitive, it was proved conclusively, knew no other language than English, and had only once been out of the British Islands, when he paid a short visit to France. Chapter 3 Tests. Sit down before a fact as a little child, be prepared to give up every preconceived notion, follow humbly wherever and to whatever abysses nature leads, or you shall learn nothing. Thomas Huxley. The tests given to me and to my fellow investigators through the 6 sensitives who so ably assisted us during our 7 years of experimental work in this little known field of research, the tests have been so numerous, and were of such a varied character, that I find it somewhat difficult to know which to select out of the hundreds which were recorded in our books officially and elsewhere, the ones which will prove of the greatest interest to inquirers, but I have made extracts from 10 of these records, and these, with a few taken from Sir William Crookes's reports on the experiments conducted in his presence, will, in my opinion, be sufficient to prove that we who have witnessed these marvels are neither hallucinated, insane, nor liars when we solemnly affirm that we have both seen and handled the materialized bodies built up for temporary use by entities from another sphere, all the statements made here being true in every detail, to the best of my knowledge and belief. Experiment Number 1 Place, Lyndhurst, New Forest, Hampshire. Sensitive A, male, aged about 46, as an example of a simple but exceedingly severe test, I would first record one given to me and a fellow investigator on the outskirts of the New Forest, one for which no special preparation of any kind whatever had been made. The sensitive, a nearly blind man, was taken by us on a dark night to a spot totally unknown to him, as he had only just arrived from London by train, and was led into a large travelling caravan, one which he had never been near before, as it had only recently left the builder's hands. During the day I had made a critical examination of the interior of the caravan, and had satisfied myself that no one was or could possibly be concealed in it. I then locked the door, and kept the key in my pocket until the moment when, on the arrival of the sensitive, I unlocked the door and we all passed into the caravan together. I then locked and bolted the door behind us. As I have already said, no preparation of any kind had been made for the experiment. It was merely the result of a desire to see if anything could be produced, through this sensitive, under extremely difficult conditions, conditions which we considered as so utterly bad as to make failure a certainty. We did not even possess a chair of any kind for the sensitive or ourselves to sit upon, so we placed for his use a board on top of the iron cooking range which was fixed in the kitchen portion of the caravan, whilst we sat upon the two couches which were used as beds in the living portion of the caravan. There was no music, no powerful human battery in the shape of a number of picked sitters. In fact, the conditions were just about as bad as they could possibly be, and yet, within 10 minutes of my locking the door behind us, the figure of a tall man stood before us, a man so tall that he was compelled to bow his head as he passed under the 6 foot high partition which separated the two sections of the caravan. He said, "I am Colonel Underscore, who was killed, as you say, at the Battle of Underscore in Egypt. For many years during my Earth life I was deeply interested in materializations, and spent the last night of my life in England experimenting with this very sensitive, and it is a great pleasure to me to be able to return to you, strangers though you both are to me, through him. To prove to you that I am not the sensitive masquerading before you, will you please come here and stand close to me, and so settle the matter for yourself?" I at once rose and stood beside him, almost touching him. I then discovered that not only were his features and his coloring totally different to those of the sensitive, but that he towered above me, standing, as nearly as I could judge, 6 foot 2 or 3 inches, and was certainly 4 inches taller than either the sensitive or myself. Whilst thus standing beside him, and at a distance of about 8 feet from the sensitive, we could both hear the unfortunate man moving uneasily on his hard seat on the kitchen range, sighing and moaning as if in pain. The entity remained with us for about 3 minutes, and his place was then taken by a slightly built young man, standing about 5 feet 9 inches, one claiming to be a recently deceased member of the royal family. He talked with us in a soft and pleasing voice, finally whispering a private message to my companion, asking him to deliver it to his mother, Queen. Experiment number 2, place, Peckham Rye, London, SE. Sensitive A, male, aged about 46. An almost equally hopeless task was set this sensitive by the owner of the caravan and myself when we experimented with him at midday on a brilliant morning in July, with sunlight streaming into the room round the edges of the drawn-down window blinds, and round the top, sides, and bottom of the heavy window curtains, which we had pinned together in a vain attempt to keep out the sunlight during the experiment. And yet, once again, and in spite of the conditions which we regarded as utterly hopeless, the figure of a man appeared in less than 10 minutes, materialized from head to foot, as he proved to us by showing us his lower limbs. He left the side of the sensitive, walked out into the room and stood between us, talking to us in a deep rich voice for nearly 3 minutes. As he stood beside us we could hear the sensitive, 12 feet away, moving uneasily on his chair and groaning slightly. 5 minutes after he disappeared the same, alleged, recently deceased member of the royal family walked out to us and held a short private conversation with my companion, and sent another message to his mother, Queen. Experiment number 3, place, West Hampstead, London, and W. Sensitive B, female, aged about 49. Persons of middle age or older who happened to be in England a few years ago at the time that 2 lawsuits were brought against a celebrated conjurer by the clever young man who had succeeded in exposing one of his most mystifying tricks, will well remember the sensation caused by the giving of both verdicts against the conjurer, and the young man, to whom I shall refer, as Mr. X. At once became famous as the man who had beaten one of the cleverest conjurers of the day. A friend of mine, who had been present on several occasions when Sir William Crook's sensitive, Florrie Cook, Mrs. Corner, referred to above as sensitive B, had produced materializations in gaslighted my house in London, asked her to visit his house at West Hampstead one evening to meet several friends of his, and to see if it were possible for any entity to materialize in my friend's own drawing room. She at once accepted his invitation to sit there under strict test conditions, and talking the matter over with some of his friends a day or two before the one chosen for the experiment, he told me that they had arranged to have the sensitive securely tied to her chair, to have strong iron rings fastened to the floorboards, through which ropes would be passed. These ropes to be securely fastened to the sensitive's legs, all knots of every size and kind to be sealed, so as to prevent any attempt on her part to leave her chair and to masquerade as a materialized entity. One of his friends happened to know the celebrated Mr. X, and as he had so recently succeeded in beating so notable a conjurer, he was invited to be present and to take entire charge of the tying up, the binding and sealing arrangements, in order to render the escape of the sensitive from her chair an impossibility. When I joined the party in the drawing room, Mr. X, to whom I was introduced, was busily engaged in tying the sensitive up with his own ropes and tapes, sealing every knot with special sealing wax and with a seal provided by our host. The room was a large one, and a portion at one end had been cleared of all furniture, and in the center of this space only the sensitive seated upon her chair, and Mr. X, busily at work, were to be seen, and the latter, after another 15 minutes of real hard labor, was asked by our host if he was thoroughly satisfied that the sensitive was fastened to her chair securely. He replied that so securely was she fastened, that if she could produce phenomena of any kind whatever under such conditions, he would at once admit their genuineness. The sensitive was all this time in a perfectly normal state, and not flurried in any way, her one anxiety being lest we should lower the lights, as she was so terrified at the thought of darkness. Mr. X, after stepping backwards to have a final look at the result of his labors, then walked close to the spot where the sensitive was sitting in gaslight, and put one hand up towards the top of the curtain, and was in the act of drawing this round her to keep the direct rays of the gaslight from falling upon her, when a large brown arm and hand suddenly appeared, the hand being clapped heavily upon Mr. X's shoulder, whilst a gruff masculine voice asked him in loud tones, "Are you really satisfied? I have witnessed some strange happenings in connection with my investigation of occult matters, but to my dying day I shall never forget the look of blank astonishment on Mr. X's face at that moment." Quickly recovering himself, however, he at once examined the sensitive, a little woman, far below the average height, having small hands and feet, as we could all see quite clearly, and declared that every seal and every knot was unbroken, and just as he had left them not 60 seconds before. Amongst other entities who materialized that evening was a young girl of about 18 years of age, who stated that when she left her earth body she had been a dancer at a cafe in Algiers. She came from the spot where the sensitive was seated, laughing heartily, stating that the hand and arm belonged to an old English sailor, whom she spoke of as the captain. She said, further, that he had been standing with her watching the tying up process from their sphere, and laughing at Mr. X's vain attempt to prevent the production of the phenomena. The captain had very much wished to materialize fully, so as to surprise Mr. X, as he stepped back from the sensitive, but finding that he could only get sufficient power to produce a hand and arm, he was in a bad temper. And this was evidently the case, for during the 10 minutes that the girl remained talking to us we could now and then hear the gruff voice of the captain rolling out language which can only be described as forcible and free. The experiment lasted for nearly an hour, and at its conclusion Mr. X examined the sensitive, and once again reported that every seal and knot were just as he had left them at the commencement of the experiment. Experiment number 4, place, my house in London. Sensitive D, male, aged about 34. On numerous occasions this sensitive has been seen by all present, in gaslight shaded by red paper, seated on his chair in a state of deep trance, and was heard to be breathing heavily, whilst two materialized entities stood beside him, or with one beside him, and the other standing 5 to 8 feet away from him and close to the sitters. Again, two female entities were seen simultaneously when this male sensitive was experimenting with us, one of them inside the half circle formed by the 16 sitters, and talking to them in a low sweet voice, at a distance of about 8 feet from the sensitive, whilst the other female entity passed through or over the sitters, and walking about the room outside the half circle formed by the sitters, came up behind two of them, and not only spoke audibly to them, but also held a short conversation with the entity inside the ring, both speaking almost instantaneously. Experiment number 5, place, my house in London. Sensitive D, male, aged about 34. One of the two female entities referred to in experiment number 4, a tall and particularly graceful woman, apparently about 25 years of age, was walking amongst the sitters, talking to them, and showing them her beautifully modeled hands, the fingers being unusually long and tapering. Stopping in front of one of the male sitters, Mr. D, whose thoughts at that moment she must have clearly read, she asked him to lend her his gold signet ring. He admitted afterwards, that in spite of all that he saw for himself that night, he still half believed that the male sensitive had escaped from his chair, and was masquerading cleverly as the female entity. With considerable difficulty Mr. D took the ring off his little finger, and she then held up both her hands, and in the presence of the 15 other sitters, she dropped his ring quite easily over, not only each of her 8 fingers, but over both thumbs as well. He then put the ring into his waistcoat pocket, and at the conclusion of the experiment, we stood round him whilst he tested the ring on the hands of the sensitive, and he was altogether unable to pass it over the second joint of any of his fingers on either hand, and could not get it onto his thumbs at all. Experiment number 6 place, the Psychological Society, London. Sensitive C, male, aged about 50. This sensitive is the one to whom I referred on page 27, the man who would not sit apart from the circle formed by the sitters, but insisted on sitting amongst them, two of them holding his hands firmly with their own during the whole time that we were experimenting with him. He did not pass into a state of trance, but was perfectly normal during the experiment, and when a materialized form appeared he would speak to the entity inhabiting the form as it moved about the room, and the entity would reply in a clear voice, which was distinctly audible, not only to the 14 or 16 sitters in the room, but to 2 observers who were stationed outside the door of the room, whose notes, made at the time, proved conclusively that we were none of us hallucinated during the experiment. On the occasion to which I now refer, the organist was absent owing to illness, so the harmonium was closed, and a circle BF sitters was formed at a distance of 20 feet away from the instrument, and there the sensitive sat, firmly held by the 2 officials in charge of him for that night, the president and vice president of the society. In about 10 minutes a tall and slim man appeared in our midst, who after passing mysteriously either through or over the circle formed by the sitters, walked slowly to the harmonium, raised the cover, and pushed it back. He then seated himself on the music stool, and drawing out some of the stops, played half a dozen perfectly harmonious chords upon the instrument, using both hands, and apparently working the pedals with both feet. The music was distinctly heard, not only by the 14 sitters present in the room, but also by the 2 observers stationed outside the room, the sensitive being held securely during the whole time that the experiment lasted, at a distance of nearly 20 feet away from the entity seated upon the music stool. Half an hour later, one of the entities suggested that a little music would help to make the conditions better. So I left my seat, went to the harmonium and was in the act of playing a voluntary, when the sensitive, nearly 20 feet away, said, "Look behind you, please." I turned my head, and there almost touching me, stood the same tall and slender figure of a man, and gazing closely into his face, I at once perceived that his features were of a distinctly different type to those of the sensitive, whilst his height exceeded that of the sensitive by nearly 3 inches. He said, "We thank you, friend, for your kind help. The vibrations given off by this instrument are of very great assistance to us during these delicate experiments." Experiment number 7 place, Whitehall, London. S. W. Sensitive D, male, aged about 34. 2 young men, to whom I shall refer as Mr. T, and Mr. W, who had often experimented with this sensitive at my house in London, asked him if he would attend at their office one evening to see if any results could be obtained there, and he at once accepted their offer, and they were good enough to invite me to join their party of friends. Today those 2 young men are holding high positions in the state, but they had never allowed the fact to leak out, that they were in any way connected with the government or its services, and from their reference to the office we all assumed that they were engaged in business in London. They asked me to bring the sensitive to an address which they gave me, and on driving to this address with him, I saw that it was a narrow street leading out of that busy thoroughfare, Whitehall, London, and on stopping the cab, I was greatly surprised to find that we were drawn up at, apparently, the side entrance to a very large building, the front of which evidently faced Whitehall.